Well, this isn't two chunks. This is what's going on here.
What's happening?
What's happening right now? What is this?
It can't. It can't. It shouldn't. Can it?
This
can
they do this? Something different. Look, if you've been listening to us, which I know you have, you sneaky little devil. I know you have. You know what today is. You know what you're listening to. This is the first episode of Imagine Dungeons, our brand new Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast.
Actual play podcast.
Light on actual, heavy on play, I would say.
Actual play.
It's the real deal.
I mean, it's heavy
play.
On actual.
Now, half of what I say is AI generated, but it's still an actual. True. I put in the work for that.
I was just more saying it's some real silly goose stuff.
It's silly goose stuff. And Carter did program CarterBot to
play. That's a spoiler.
Because we all know how techy I can be. I think the best thing to know is like there's another episode waiting for you. And it's over in the Imagine Dungeons feed. Let me tell you something about how this show is produced. Really, Doge would be the best to tell you because he does a lot of that work. He has scored music for this. Listen, it's like, so what itch do you need scratched? Imagine Dungeons has it for you. You just finished House of the Dragon. You're not going to get that again for who knows how long. Oh, well, here's something all the way till Christmas for you if you want to get back into the fantasy land.
And then also beyond time. It doesn't end there, Carter.
And then even further beyond that, we've got more guarantees than George R.R. Martin. Maybe you just got done with Top Chef and you're like, God, where's my competitive food energy? It's here. It's here in Imagine Dungeons.
In episode one.
Get ready for it. You're like,
what do you
shoot,
want,
man?
Action? It's there.
Action?
Sex? It's there.
Sex
explosions?
Is there.
It's there. What more 100%. Do you want? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's all waiting for you. And episode one is here, right when we're done talking. But that's the only one you get here. We're not giving you more than just one. You got to go over to the Imagine Dungeons feed to get the rest. You only get the one freebie. First one's free is us and drug dealers. We have the same sort of method. The same business model.
But it's different because it's like, imagine if a drug dealer was like, first one's free and then you got to go next door and the second one is free, but it's only there.
It's also we don't still have it free, here. But I'm not going to bring
it's
it
also
to your
still
house.
Free, but it's just it, now, not
next
here
one,
anymore.
They're cooking. You're going to have to wait a week. But if you stick around over here at the second house that you came to, if you stick around at
they
this
will
second
give it,
house,
they'll keep giving you free drugs.
It's like if the drug dealer
just,
pulls
you
up
have to wait.
In his Nissan Sentra and is like, here's the first one. And a different guy is going to come and give you the second one, but it's just him and a Camry. Like the next time he comes up, he's like, that other guy was crazy. Anyway, here you go. Here's the other
he
one.
He has a different theme song and some extra friends in his car.
Better friends. Improvements.
Better friends.
Certainly
improves. He becomes the extra friend.
Yeah, we're a bonus to our own podcast, but take a listen in episode one. The first taste is free starts right now.
A low, tortured moan constantly emanates from the cavernous hole in the prison as the souls within lament their fate. Sheer rock walls dripping with fetid water house hundreds of emaciated prisoners in barred cells dug from stone. The only way in or out is a rickety wooden lift. The plucking of a lute echoes through the pit as a variety of creatures and humanoid races listen intently to the tune, a song that dares to inspire hope.
Well, give me some fresh air. I want to plop these green feet in a brook somewhere. I want to soak it in. I want to feel the wind blowing through my knuckle hair. Oh, give me some fresh air. Well, loose me from these binds. I want to get some peace of mind. Well, let's bury some guards out in the yard. I know a place that they won't find. Well, loose me from these binds. Well, free me from this cell. I wanna fly off this barge like a demigorgon out of hell. If we can work in pairs and weaponize these chairs, we'd all fare pretty well. Well, free me from this cell. I know where the guard keeps his keys.
Carter, Would you like to describe your character?
Danyark Gashkala is a traveler. He goes by Donnie. Danyark Gashkala. So Donnie Gash would be...
Oh, God.
If he got to know you pretty well. But...
Oh, my gosh.
Danyark is about 50 years old. He wears mostly black. What he was picking on was a yarding that he had fashioned out of a pretty impressive battle axe. So really any weapon that he holds isn't a weapon anymore. He's tattered. He's pretty scarred. I would imagine he smells like whatever fantasy nicotine smells like. he is, he's about 6'4", like 240 pounds. So he's a big dude. I mean, he was just born this way. It's an orc that for a long time had been charged with fighting off demons. And then this is how he fights demons now. It's just doing music. This is not the first prison he's been to on this tour. And he keeps getting in trouble, but I think he kind of likes what that's doing for his storytelling. So he's really, he's been leaning into this for a long time.
Donnie, as you finish your song, you look around the pit that stretches about 100 yards in diameter deep into the ground. And along the walls are prisoners who are pressed against the bars and slowly take the dishes that they get their prison gruel in and just start slamming it against the bars in unison. And you hear the wooden lift start creaking down as pretty hefty dwarven guards are descending. And it seems inevitable. You've been here before. You've probably caused enough mayhem to get transferred. And as it descends, you see a prisoner not too far from you kind of get a glint in his eyes. He's another orc like you. And he flexes his muscles, and it seems like your song did some work because he pushes the bars out of the sockets and takes a leap over the cavern trying to hit the lift. You see magic erupt from the lip of the pit below, and the orc freezes in place. And a dwarven guard takes a hefty hammer and just shatters him. Fleshy ice pouring down the cavern below.
Is he okay?
Thankfully, he's good. He comes down from the bottom of the pit.
I want to do a medicine check.
The lift finally gets to your cell, Donnie, as the dwarven guards unlock your cell, and four walk in, and one of them looks up at you. Donnie, we've had this conversation before. You got to stop giving them hope. The people down here deserve to be here.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, even if they get out of here, they're still going to be in some kind of prison. So as long as we're all behind bars, I'm going to keep singing.
One of the guards goes, like, shakes his head. It's like, I hate musicians. And one of them puts his hands out and like a makeshift little boost. Another one steps up and puts a hood over your head as the other one finishes tying a rope around your hands behind your back. And you're shoved forward and the lift starts creaking up. And although it's a pretty gnarly scene, you can hear the prisoners tapping their little food bowls on their bars. Eventually, you hear the sounds of a market, and you can tell that they're marching you probably to the docks. As you kind of get awareness that you're being marched through these docks, would you like to say anything? No, like you can hear the chattering of crowds as like a prisoner is marched through.
Like say anything to the people just that I can hear? Like, what do you think they'd hear me?
Yeah, they could hear. I mean, it's, you've been in this market before, you know, you traveled before on the way to this prison.
Gotcha.
You know, you could, You probably smell like pork on a stick that you would have had on the way down. You can smell like all the different smells that come with a place where a lot of travelers pass through. Yeah. You know that it really is like a pretty vast marketplace full of a variety of different travelers. So you're fully aware that if you shouted something or stopped to make a scene or something like that, they would fully notice.
Okay. Donnie is going to yell, and he's just going to be like, "That's right, everybody. You can tell you've seen me with this garb around my face before. Donnie's tour is moving on. Can't tell you exactly where we're headed, but I think it's going to be somewhere over that drink. So if you're looking for me, just follow the rhythms and maybe save me a couple of those kebabs if I get back."
We love you, Donnie.
The guards shake their head and just shove you along. You can feel yourself stepping up some stairs, and you can feel the mist coming off of the breeze of the sea hitting you in your kind of raggedy clothes. And you feel the waves moving a ship. Eventually, they take your hood off, and you're shoved into a cell.
Out of the frying pan into a different frying pan, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Out of the frying pan into the boat, like this. It's
classic. A trope is old as time.
I'm a big Donnie fan. I'll tell you right now.
Same.
I'm picturing just green Johnny Cash. Just the picture, the picture of him like flipping off the camera, just green.
That's yes. Basically,
yeah. I guess that's pretty much it.
Cool.
In a dark room lies six prison cells. Most are inhabited by a variety of different creatures. Waves rock the damp wood beneath your feet, and everything is wet. Condensation builds on the iron bars. Sweat is dripping down your cheeks. But worst of all are your socks, which are soggy, wet, and starting to irritate your feet a little bit.
The worst.
And you can definitely tell everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah.
Because the room reeks of fish and obviously the like musty stink of wet socks. Psst. You guys hear somebody calling you from across the cell. And as you look up, you find yourself in a cell with five others. Whoever would like to introduce their character first may do so.
Yeah, I'm happy to go.
Thank you.
Happy to go. Jordan Wonders today will be playing the role of Fiddlesticks. Fiddlesticks is a 20-year-old Lightfoot halfling. He's a young man with a dream. I would say a chip on his shoulder and a bit of a hero complex. Fiddlesticks is incredibly tall for a halfling. He is 4'2", and he means every inch. And Fiddlesticks has short wavy brown hair, big old brown eyes, and it's sort of, I want the vibe of Fiddlesticks just so everybody understands what we're playing with here. Fiddlesticks gives off this sort of Macaulay Culkin circa Home Alone 2 Lost in New York energy. But yes. like he grew up and never quite stopped messing around. So just so everybody's incredibly clear on who we're working with here.
One of your attacks is just throwing Legos on the ground.
I have a note here that in all caps and underlined that just says ball bearings, so I never forget. but that's Fiddlesticks. My guess is even in this moment, Fiddlesticks is just happy to be here.
Fiddles, next to you is Donnie, who is not quite twice your size, but he might have a little bit of giant blood in him as well.
Sure. Same. Yeah, for sure.
Two big boys.
two big boys.
Sue, would you like to introduce yourself, describe Sue?
Yeah, sure. So Sue is also a halfling and also on the larger side. Maybe not quite 4'2", but definitely taller than most halflings that she is around.
Would that make her like a three-quarters ling?
Yes, like I think
she's
so.
A 70% ling.
70%.
Great.
Absolutely. She also uses they, them pronouns, so either one, she, they. And she's kind of got like some aloof vibes. Maybe like doesn't totally understand what's happening. just looking around and trying to put pieces together, and it's not going well.
Ridley, would you like to describe yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ridley also stands with a pretty commanding presence. And the reason for that is he is tall, but most importantly, he is a sea turtle. Mm. Standing, I don't know, 6'4". He's a big boy. Ridley is a older sea turtle in his 50s. And he's got kind of this, you know, maybe a little bit of wispy hair, like 3 or 4 strands in a comb over.
Oh, yes. Charlie Brown hair.
So he's hanging on way too long to this hair. And then he's also wearing just a very simple white collared shirt with a loose, if the guards didn't take it, a loose red tie. Really warm eyes, look like they've seen a lot. He's been through, you know, just a guy that looks like he has stories to tell.
That's good. Yeah, the guards didn't take your tie.
Okay, great.
They did think it was funny.
Well, it's, you know, if they interrupt me at work, they can't laugh. that was their choice.
Glint, take us home with your description.
Yeah, Glint is a 21-year-old half-elf. He's 5'8" tall, so I'm kind of holding down the fort for regular height boy.
Let's go, regular height boy.
Glint, he's kind of reserved, a bit as reclusive as you can be, I think, when you're sharing a big group jail cell. but he definitely hasn't talked to any of you yet. He's pretty overwhelmed by everything that's happening right now, and he is currently sitting kind of by himself trying to figure out what is happening and how do I get out of this. I should say, I think that Ridley probably looks a little bit more comfortable in this situation. This maybe is not his first time below deck against his will.
Yeah, the two old men are so comfortable here.
Big prison guys.
Big prison guys. Hey, so Donnie's instruments clearly were weapons. I can't imagine in a prison at this point. Like, are they? Does he still have these, or have they taken these from him right now? Do we have our stuff?
That's a great question. Roll me a perception check.
First roll.
Yeah.
Let's go. Is this just Carter?
Yeah.
I'm gonna roll.
Zoe.
When do I play?
Ooh, you're good at that. But you rolled badly.
Dude, that's a 9.
Dumbass.
Donnie, as you look around, you can tell in the corner of the room is just like a pot. Seems like they didn't want to waste a chest on this. That just has like most of the stuff y'all brought in that they thought might be dangerous just piled in the pot. Indiscriminately.
And are we chained?
You are just in a pretty large cell. It pretty comfortably fits all of you.
Okay. So, and is the pot on the other side of the bars?
Yeah, so...
Okay.
You have a row on like the south wall with three different cells. On the north, there's three different cells. And then on the left side of the room, you see a big old pot next to the stairs that go up to the ship deck.
Also, did you say there were six of us in here? Is there one more person who is not a player character?
You do hear from behind Glint a bit of whirring, like a metallic little... Glint, would you like to... Would you care to describe this little fellow that you've brought along with you?
Yeah.
I can't wait to meet the little fellow.
This little fellow his official designation is D4V335PR0CK37, Davy Sprocket. But Glint refers to him as Davy.
Yes!
Glint is a tinkerer, and Davy is the most successful thing that Glint has ever built. He's a 2 foot tall, basically like a little miniaturized Warforged. Think Clank from Ratchet and Clank.
Yes.
But he is the most important thing in the world to Glint. That is the reason that Glint hasn't spoken to any of you is because he's trying to figure out, how do I get Davy out of here? How do we keep him safe? What is happening right now? Okay.
So he's going to kind of sidle up next to you and go, "Hey there, little guy." Does Davy say anything in response?
He kind of tilts his head. And you see almost like a sparkle of comfort. It seems to be relatively familiar with you, whereas he might not be with everybody else in the cell. And whirs excitedly.
Okay, I would die for Davy Sprocket. I just decided.
Right?
I'll throw myself in front of a train for Davy.
I want to give him a little scratch under his chin.
Ooh. As you tilt his... little robotic chin up. Glint, you he notice dies. As well.
Stop.
I can't believe he did it.
He's made of glass.
Glint, you see, because this wasn't there before, there is a sort of insignia that looks a little bit like a shark tooth almost. It has been burned into the lower part of his chin. And then you kind of realize a pain that you've been feeling on your wrist as you see that there is a red mark on your right wrist in the same shape. And it seems, as you notice this, that everybody has that same marking.
Do I recognize this mark?
I would also be interested to know if I recognize this mark.
We can roll history.
Yeah, group history check.
Yes.
Thank God.
Everybody, history.
Ooh.
Ooh, guys.
Okay.
It's an 18 for Sue. Fiddle.
Glint rolled a 22.
I think
I forgot to mention that Glint knows everything. That's something important about
history life. Robot. Yeah, I think this, you guys can pull your knowledge enough, especially with Glint's studies. You would know that this mark, this particular mark, is known for a group of pirates who use the marking of a shark tooth to sort of brand their captives and their members.
Oh, no.
Are we members or captives?
So Ridley has been watching this happen with Davy and then our collective, you know, kind of realization of the shark tooth. And so Ridley's going to say, like, well, a couple of things. Number one, who put these socks? Did y'all all get socks when we came in? I was not wearing socks when I left the house.
It was strange.
Okay.
Too small.
Yeah, I'm going to. Too small. I'm going to take these off. Second, so I can only speak for myself. I am not a member of a pirate gang, or at least not that I'm aware of. So I'm curious who I'm talking to. Any of these marks by choice, or are we all kind of in the same boat here?
Fiddles has been kicking his feet, just sort of dangling off of whatever stool he could find in the corner of the room. And he slowly stops kicking his feet and, like, you know, jumps down. And he looks at his wrist and he looks up kind of from underneath his little fluffy bangs. And he says,
well, I've...
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. For me personally, I'm not nervous about this at all. And if it seems like I am, I think it's important that everybody here knows that this feels normal to me. So I'm used to stuff like this. And, I did not ask for this, brand on my wrist. But if you guys did, then I am happy to have it.
Glenn's had his back turned to you the whole time to you guys as a group. And he turns and looks over his shoulder. He's getting kind of frustrated with this. And he's like, if you would simply look at the facts, I think you would realize we're in obviously some sort of holding cell. This mark cannot be by choice. Logically, it would follow that we are all captives.
Oh my God, there's two robots?
Clint rolls his eyes and turns back to Davey.
Okay, well, obviously, I was trying to be nice. Great. Yeah, that makes sense. So we're all kind of... Nobody chose to get here today? Yeah?
He's right, we are... And I don't even know if Donnie realizes, like, are we the only ones in here?
No, there's a couple of other little creatures in here with you. There's an old man in a prison cell by himself across from you guys. The one to your right is empty, but the next one over has three goblins. Two of them are, like, huddled together, and the other one is kind of being standoffish with his arms crossed. Just across from them, there's two half-elves who seem to be kind of over this.
Yeah. Donnie's definitely assessing the room. I don't know if it's like, it's definitely, everything's an audience. And so he's just kind of looking around and he's like,
this stranger brings up a great point. We actually are all captives, aren't we? Captives of our own demise. Captives of things we didn't choose.
Oh, jeez.
As for me, I've been a captive for a long time.
Glint stands up and walks away.
As Donnie is talking, Fiddlesticks has slowly walked over and just sat next to Ridley and is just like folding his arms like, ah, oh, jeez. Like very same feeling. Like, yeah, definitely, ah, oh, jeez.
Now, I'm certainly someone who's woken up before and have seen something I didn't recognize from the pre-grog few hours. And so... What does stand out to me is that everyone else got this maybe around the same time. So yeah, I agree with our friend here, the robot daddy. I think this is something we didn't choose.
So Robo Daddy, you seem to know so much about where we are. What do we do next? I mean, who are we working with?
Gage, do I know anything about this group of pirates in particular, or just do I know that we've been captured by pirates?
You would know with that 22 that if if pirates were to ever go corporate, this is those type of pirates. They're known as the Blood Drunks, and they basically train up pirates, and if they survive, they get their own, they become captains eventually, and they get their own ships when they steal it. So, you know, it's one of those groups, but you wouldn't know who this specific group is.
Okay. Well, I believe that we are in the hold of a ship belonging to the Blood Drunks.
And oh, okay.
I'm afraid that we are going to undergo quite a rigorous ordeal over the next period of time. And it seems that we may be forced into a life outside the law. Which I don't know about you all, but I am not comfortable with.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was obvious. okay, well, the Blood Drunk, yeah, okay, I've run in with them before. We are, this is going to be annoying.
The old man across the hall from you guys. It's like, psst, keep your voices down. They're always listening. There's a bald feller. And he's crazy. He was making the goblins fight earlier.
Like, fight each other?
Yeah, just in the hall in the middle of everything.
And are we allowed to watch?
I think that's what they want.
So are we doing, is this like a betting thing?
I think they're not allowed to bet. They just do it for the fun.
Fiddlesticks steps into the middle of the room and looks at the old man and says, it's a good thing there's no betting because I've already been through everybody's pockets and I'm going to be honest, we're coming up a little light today.
Can I roll like contested perception to see if he like actually was able to get into my pockets?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Fiddles roll a deception check and sure. Sue, you'll roll up perception.
Ridley can't feel his pockets, so this definitely worked.
I rolled a 15.
Oh. Ooh. Whoa. Nash.
That's a 25 for Jordan.
Was that
that's
a crit?
20.
Yeah.
First crit.
You know.
Everyone is fully convinced that something is almost supernatural about Fiddles.
Whoa. Where did my things go?
Glint does not have pockets in his pants, but he also fully believes that Fiddles went through his pockets.
Just
Fiddles
just,
actually stole Glint's pockets.
I just checked your crevices is all I did.
I swear these jodhpurs had pockets when I was put onto this pirate ship.
I mean, Sue's wearing like an apron, so like it is on like front pockets. They are empty somehow.
Can I go talk to the half-elves?
You can shout across the cell at them.
Hello, half-elves. You are like me. We're all half-elves. What's up, guys?
One of them was trying to get some sleep and cracks an eye open and sits up and looks over at you and we are nothing alike.
Your voices would beg to differ.
Glint, I think, is visibly pretty hurt by this. And he turns around, just turns his back on the half-elves and mutters to Davy,
just like always, huh, buddy?
Oh.
Ridley's going to go over to the bars and just say, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen up there. Gotta do a pee pee poo poo. Can somebody help me, please?
Fiddlesticks' eyes get wide. Just saucers.
Roll a persuasion check, Ridley, as you hear like bootsteps walking towards the stairs. Ooh, okay. With a dirty 20, you see a...
It is a poo-poo check.
It is a poo-poo check.
Roll a poo-poo check for
me. What's your poo-poo modifier?
I got a +3 to poo-poo.
Proficiency in urination.
A bald human who's about your height, Ridley, kind of clambers down the steps.
You really gotta take a moment to poo-poo?
Do you ever take a moment?
Fiddlesticks has sidled over to Sue and has tapped her on the shoulder to point out that he has just written bald with his finger in the dirt and then is just laughing at the guy outside of the cell.
Sue just nods like, yes, he is bald. Astute observation.
Correct. Stop interrupting.
The guard's like, I'm always on duty for poo-poo.
Glint whispers to Davy,
duty.
And he just like walks over to the cell and unlocks it.
Nobody move. All right, big guy, come on out.
And he kind of like stands in the doorway, but like kind of ushers you out.
Okay, I wasn't expecting this. I'm just going to be very honest. I didn't think I was going to be let out. So what I'm trying to do is figure out, like, I want to know more of, like, why are we prisoners? Where are we going? And if I'm about to start a coup, like, let's go. But
maybe you'll find out on the way to the bathroom.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go along with it. And follow him down. But I would love to just like get a lay of the land. What am I seeing? What do I need to know about, you know, on the walk to the bathroom?
Yeah. So he doesn't take you to the deck. He takes you deeper into the ship. And you can see, like, as you guys are walking, towards like the back end of the ship, the little boat that you sold them is like on a ramp.
Okay.
He's like, okay, well, here you go. And like ushers you to a door. And when you walk in, it's built like an outhouse, but there's a wand kind of like at the edge of the toilet. You would know that like, if you're rich, you might buy a wand of controlling water to like flush the toilet when you're done.
Sick. Very cool.
Sick. Little bidet.
Bidet to you.
Very nice.
Okay, so I see the boat on my way in. So something I guess you keep hinting at it. So Ridley Fontina runs the Fontina Marina, which is a home for gently used secondhand sea vessels. And so I would recognize one of my own. Maybe there's a decal on the
got a VIN number.
Yeah. But like, was this, did I just sell this?
Like, yeah, you know what? Let's go back to it. Seeing like this barge, you remember like the sound of seagulls above your little shop that's in towards the dock in this market. You can see the large cliff face on the backdrop of Cliff Scrape. And being a port city, you see all kinds of faces that come through, but it's primarily sailors, pirates, halflings who are looking to leave sort of like the Talenton Plains, and lots of people like you who are in the market to exchange goods. For you, and for those who would see Tortles would know that they're kind of bartering goods of the sea for goods of the land, and then if the price is right, you might resell those on the other side.
Yep.
And the other day, you remember counting the profits that you were making that day?
Okay.
And you saw an orc covered in dirt be ushered past by guards. He kind of exclaims a statement about his tour that seems to be happening. I don't know if you're the type to care about something like that. But you take a moment, think about like why a prisoner would be taken to the docks instead of the pit. When an unfortunately familiar face steps up to your market.
Okay.
You know this man is Captain Vance. And he wears his pirate hat. He steps up and knocks on the counter.
Mr. Fontina.
Yeah, Mr. Vance.
It seems you didn't finish your business.
I don't know what you're referring to. You guys came and got what they needed the other day, I thought.
The barge you sold us.
Mm-hmm.
Low quality wood. Mm-hmm. Holes in the bottom.
Okay.
Not fit for the sea.
Well, what I would say is I was very honest about what I was selling, and it is on you to ask the questions that you want answers to. I didn't hear no holes. You said no holes, we go to the other side of the marina. I don't see what there's a problem.
He pulls up his sleeve and shows you the tooth brand and says,
work in these docks. You should know who you're working with. I would expect someone of your reputation to know better.
Ridley goes over to his desk, and like in the same way that there was this covert sleeve pull, he like quietly opens this drawer on his desk to show half a sandwich. He's like, well, you should know that you're interrupting me during my lunchtime. You should know who you're working with. Look, sales are final. You know this. And I'm sorry. Look, you got some young guys out there. They need to get some work in. They need to understand how to repair a hull. I know that you're getting shot at out there. So just view this as a learning opportunity. for your new recruits. Honestly, actually, now that I think about it, you're welcome.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to come with me to my boat. And you're going to fix the one that you sold, the young'uns. And he, like, gestures, like, to the side of your market, or to the side of the little stall, to, like, follow him.
Yeah, so are you... I think we should maybe agree on my day rate up front, then?
He leans forward and looks you in the eye and goes, I think you might want to come on board and check first. And I need you to roll a charisma save.
Okay. No problem. I believe this will cover it. Nat 1.
Yeah. You've been affected.
No.
No. I think the 7 looks like a 1. I thought the same thing earlier.
Yeah, you rolled a 12.
A 12 will not do it. You've been affected by the charm person spell.
Okay.
And so you are sort of all of a sudden friendlier to the idea of following the captain. Like, I mean, this is probably good for business, right? Like,
you know what? I've actually been looking for some pro bono opportunities to give back to the community. So this is great. Yeah. You know, you mind if I grab my gear and we can get on out of here?
Grab your gear. I love an excited volunteer.
Bars.
Happy to be of service. And so non-sock wearing Ridley walks over. he walks over to the wall behind his stall. And, you know, on the stall, it says, you know, the Fontina Marina. And then it says X marks the spot of savings. And the X is a glaive and a trident that he can actually take off of the wall. So he puts those, he wears those. And I don't think he would grab much else other than the half sandwich. And he's willingly following.
Does Ridley put the trident and the glaive, like, into his shell, like scoot him into the shell, or do they go somewhere else?
He has like a harness.
Yes.
That they're on the back of his shell, but on a harness.
Very Ninja Turtles. Okay.
For reasons that will become apparent later.
I love it.
As you're led onto the ship, Captain Vance, it's like, calls over another pirate. Leadhead, get this turtle down to the barge. And the bald pirate who has been escorting you to the restroom walked up to you and
we'll take your gear. I don't think you need this.
And feeling friendly to the idea, you hand him your gear. And he kind of escorts you to the prison cell where you see an orc kind of passed out on the floor. It's like,
just join him and... Why don't you put these on while you wait?
And he hands you a pair of socks. They're like obviously way too small.
Under the influence of Charm Person and not wanting to be a bad guest, Ridley will take a seat and slide on this small pair of Hanes.
Fantasy Hanes.
Ye old Hanes.
Ye old.
That's how you arrived here.
Cool.
Roll a perception check. Nice. Yeah, with a 14, in retrospect, looking back at how you got here under, like, Charm Person, you would be able to put together that at some point after you put these socks on, the brand showed up on your wrist.
Okay. wait, am I connecting the socks to the brand or that at some point I blacked out?
No, you're connecting the socks to the brand. And okay, even though you've taken the socks off, the brand is still on your wrist.
Okay. So Ridley is like, well, here we are. I've done this to myself. I like am kind of remembering the Charm Person moment. I'm here. It's all coming back to me. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, hey, it's Leadhead, right?
Unfortunately.
Ah, no. Hey, your name is your moniker. You got to own that. Be proud of Leadhead. Hey, can I get to work on this boat here soon?
Yeah, I think Captain Vance is He'll like that.
Okay, well, look, all I'm saying is I got a couple of folks in there with me. It'd be great to have a couple of sets of hands. And then, good news for you guys, you wouldn't have to lift a finger. We'll get it all done. I know we were going to use it as a training moment for the youngins, but why don't I just do this? Give me the other prisoners, and we'll get this knocked out for you. Could you take that to Captain Vance?
You see him look kind of, like, scared at the idea.
I actually got my name from saying something to Captain that he didn't like. And he hit me in the head with it's like a paperweight across the room and hit me in the head. So I like where you're going with this. Maybe you bring it up to him and I will be there also.
Redhead, I think that is a fantastic proposal.
In the prison cells, the old man across from you guys,
he's like, listen, there's a barge down here. I think I could work the lever to drop the ramp and we can escape from the barge into one of the rivers. And the ship is too big to follow us through it.
Well.
Do any of you know how to drive a ship?
Do you think we could have a quick sidebar just of ourselves for just a second?
Only like frowns and you guys just continue with
that. No, you're fine. You're fine. Just wait just a second. It's not about you. It's about somebody else. Has anybody, checked that old guy's credentials or thought maybe that he's just a crazy old man down here and maybe we shouldn't listen to him? Just checking.
I could do an investigation check.
I roll insight.
Or insight, yeah.
Sue's pretty wise. Not very smart, but pretty wise. I'm going to roll insight.
I'm doing the same.
Ooh,
that's a 24.
Oh, that'll work.
With a 24, you know that he's earnest and also maybe crazy. Likely crazy, but he means it.
Well, I do think that they want to escape, and I do think we could make it happen. But also, I think they're probably not all there.
You know what? That's good enough for me. I'm with this one.
Around this time, Leadhead brings Ridley back.
Is Leadhead within range? Like, can he hear me?
As he brings Ridley back, he does. I mean, he's in range, yeah.
I think I want to kind of try and... I don't have, like, vicious mockery or everything, but I want to keep him riled up a little bit.
You probably just call him a bitch.
I'm just like kind of banging against the, like a little rhythm. He kind of keeps the same rhythm. Donnie Gash has like one thing and it's like that ding, dig, doon, dig, doon, dig, doon. And as he's bringing Ridley back down, just loud enough for everybody to hear, he's like, some pirates plunder, some pirates have wit, some pirates are great pirates, and some just help you shit. I'm just like looking right at him.
You can see that he's flustered because he's like thinking of something to say.
But the whole injury with the paperweight makes it tough to think about.
He's still concussed.
You could see a negative imprint of Office Max on his forehead.
Fantasy Office Max.
Yes.
The old.
And he's like,
I just got done telling you guys about how I'm always on duty about this.
And he's like flustered, irritated. He's like,
you know what? I'll be back later.
And he unlocks the old man's cage. He's like, come on, old timer. And he grabs him by the collar of his shirt and like yanks him up to the deck.
Did he put Ridley back in the cell?
Yes, he did.
So I did not get to tell Captain Vance about my great idea.
No, he seems to be on a mission right now. And maybe he'll remember, but also maybe he won't.
How wide are the bars in the cell?
Wide enough for pretty much everybody but Donnie to stick their arms through.
Could a young, precocious, but tall and powerful halfling man slip through those bars?
No.
What if there was lubricant present?
It seems like the two biggest issues would be your skull.
That's tough.
And your rump.
Hey.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Fiddle's caked up. Forgot to mention.
Fiddlesticks got that dumper.
Fiddlesticks got a world-class dumper.
You
got
to sneak around somehow, and okay. it adds to the balance.
Yeah, it keeps my center of gravity low, which I appreciate.
What about a tiny little robot?
Ooh.
Possibly tiny little robot also got a big head.
Mm.
No dumper, I noticed. Interesting.
He's never pooped.
Making notes.
It's not a part of his programming.
Glenn, why didn't you give your robot an ass? I didn't ask that. I'm just kidding.
You guys can hear the old man kind of flailing around on the deck up above, like as you hear like on the ceiling, and then him kind of screaming like, no.
I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
Okay. It's become abundantly clear to me that we need leadership. And in a power vacuum, the only person that can become a leader is the person that steps in to take that place. So I vote that the scary green guy leads us. Thank you so much. I yield my time.
Donnie, like, looks around, like, clearly knows that he's kind of green, but then he looks over at Ridley, too. He's like, now,
I guess, do I ask if you think one of us is more scary or more green?
Yeah, I was equally confused. I think you got it. It seems like you got a way to move people. And so, let's... Donnie, why don't you kick us off? I don't know your name. Sir?
He's famous.
Hello, I'm Donnie Cash.
And he, like, looks around Donnie Cash, and he is like,
you know, I am flattered. This does come up at times, but I don't tend to drive the narrative. I just tend to observe it and relay the narrative. I'm not normally one for leading, if that makes sense. I apologize if you thought otherwise.
In the cells, a couple blocks away from you, the goblins are paying attention and slowly are like, fight, 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 fight.
Fiddlesticks has decided to stand behind Ridley Fontina as the fight chant begins.
Thank you, sirs. Appreciate it. Thank you for your input. It is not necessary. Okay, I don't know about leadership, but I do know enough to get us off of this here vessel. So, y'all, my name is Ridley Fontina. It is wonderful to meet you, even though this was not my plan for how to start this Thursday, if it is still Thursday. So, listen, there's a boat back there, and I happen to know that it is in need of some gentle repair, but I think that we can get it to the right spot, and that's our ticket off this here vessel.
Heard, Chef.
Now, that there's a leader. Now, Ridley, real quick, this is the of the marina?
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't happen to have a jingle or anything just yet, would you?
A jingle?
A little something people remember you by outside of your impressive physique.
Well, I depends on the day I had, but sometimes the pockets jingle, but no, I don't really have, I don't have a song.
Good to know. That's fine. That's fine. Just good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, I love this.
Let's go.
Yeah, I do think that maybe is a conversation for another time. Who are we working with here? Did you call me Chef?
Yes, I did. That was an accident. But my name is Sue. And I'm here. I'm looking for something new, if you catch my drift.
Well, Sue, when you're here, your family, it's great to meet you.
Her eyes are going to just like glint just a little bit. Like maybe that's going to make her cry.
Who else are we working with? Robo Daddy, is that your formal moniker or you got something else?
My name is Glintwood Thistlewick. I am not the robot's dad, although I did create him.
And Davy's like,
Fiddlesticks puts his arm around Davy, like, it's okay, man.
Okay, and you there behind my shell, if you could actually come around from behind me.
Oh, do you mean me?
I sure do, son.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good call, I think. So my name is Fiddlesticks, and I'm just excited to have some friends, and I'm excited to get out of this room, please.
10-4. Glintleberry Thistlebottoms, do you have any sort of... any sort of, like, anything that we could use to pry open this door?
That's a good question. What's the door like? Is it like a door, or is it like a barred, like, jail cell door, like a lock? Is it like, how are we stuck in here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, connecting to the bars, which are drilled into the ceiling and the floor, is like a door that looks like it's made of fence links that are closer together than, I guess what we would experience here.
Okay.
The door has like a handle on the other side that has a keyhole in it.
Okay. Is the door made of wood?
It's made of metal, and it's a little bit more secure than you would probably expect to see on a prison ship or, you know, in the barge of a pirate ship.
Can I roll investigation, or can we group roll investigation to see if there's anything that can help us escape or find or maybe survival to find a way out of here?
I know there's a pot too. We see that pot of all our stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. It does have any like tools, weapons, and because of that, any sort of like loose pieces of metal that they grabbed that would be able to pick that lock have been confiscated, especially something they found in Fiddlesticks' inventory and all of his ball bearings are like at the top of the pile.
Oh, no.
The ball bearings.
As you guys discuss this, sort of like soft footsteps descend from the staircase, from the deck. And the old man is alone. As he walks down, opens his prison cell and shuts it and sits down. You can see that he has like a big bruise on the side of his head. And he seems to almost be in kind of a daze as he just sits himself back down quietly.
They're making another lead head.
Fiddlesticks scoots to the bars of our cell and is just like, hey, crazy, what's going on?
He kind of looks over his shoulder at you and he's like, I don't think we should escape anymore.
That's understandable. That's understandable. And I see how you could come to that conclusion.
Roll an insight check for me.
Yep.
Oh, that's not going to go over.
Ooh.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good one. Heck yeah.
Like, he seems smarter.
You just got beat up.
That's a one.
You're very convinced that there are a lot of signs of a concussion here.
Okay, I'm going to try something. Look, man, I know that things are tough down here. Maybe if you came a little closer to our cell, like if you came out in the hallway, we could talk about it. Just sort of like walk through this whole situation, really unpack everything you're going through.
Roll a persuasion check for me.
Oh, you don't want me to do that. That's not great. That was a 12 persuasion.
He stands up and just kind of steps maybe a foot away from the bars and is just kind of looking at you, like, still in a daze.
Fiddlesticks bends over, hands on knees, and goes, come on, buddy. Come on. You can do it. Come on.
I don't want to leave anymore. I kind of like it here.
Fiddlesticks turns to the rest of the group and says, I think this guy's toast.
Does it feel like he just like can also walk out?
That's
like
what I assumed.
In? You can put together that he didn't lock his cell and it wasn't locked after he left. He just walked back in his cell. They did unlock it to take him out, but Leadhead didn't lock it back whenever he left.
All right, I want to do a persuasion.
Hey, friend, listen. If you the comfort of your own cell, it's great. You had a great plan earlier too, and I think it's fine if you wanted to get on out of there, help us a little bit, and you can go right back to your room and meditate or do ever what do whatever it is you need. How about you get on out of there, though? Help us out like you thought you would before.
Yeah.
Boom. Persuasion. Rolling it.
Plus 11 six.
Plus 6.
With a 17, the old man turns around. I guess approaches the bars and kind of gently sets his hand against them. And you know that you have used the same tactic before, if in different circumstances, 100 times, and it works every single time. Something in his eyes is telling you that he is kind of beyond. It's not his opinion has been influenced by something beyond just words.
Okay, gotcha. I'm gonna look to the party and be like, "Listen, y'all. I think it's he's checked out in a way that's a little bit different. I don't think we're gonna get any help from our buddy across the way."
As you guys are discussing this, he is just kind of talking to himself. But if anybody else is listening,
I've always wanted to be a pirate, I guess. Arg.
You want to try again with the half elves?
Yeah,
you like you better now.
Call out to them again. I came on strong earlier. I would like to be your friend.
That's definitely less strong. Good job.
My name is Glint, and I don't know what yours is. Will you tell it to me?
I don't think this guy has ever talked to people before.
We all are on different journeys.
One of the half-elf we spoke to earlier, the other one is still being standoffish at best, kind of slowly stands up and looks at you, Glint. You obviously have not spent much time around our kind if you think that asking for a name would result in us giving it to you.
Almost zero time. You got it. Correct.
Glint, call them your homies. Glint, call them your homies.
I can't wait to continue to be homies with you.
Oh my God, he did it.
I like it's almost befuddled by that.
They've definitely, that's not a half elf word. Yeah. They've never heard that word before.
Homies? Roll for deception.
You may call me Cornelius.
Cornelius, it is wonderful to meet you. I don't assume that you are having any more fun than we are. How do you think we could get out of here?
It seems that these pirates' goals are for us to eventually become part of our crew, as you will learn soon when you're invited to dinner with the captain.
Dinner?
Oh.
It is a quick process, but they do desire to ensure your loyalty. And then one of the goblins kind of perks up. Is like, he said Mies. I'm Mies.
Mies?
This is home. I am Mies. I believe they're taking us to some ruins outside of one of the coastal cities. We were captured, but we had a group who was searching for some treasure. And in the process of them torturing us, I did reveal that. And I think that is where they're going to test our loyalties.
Fiddlesticks has not heard anything that has happened for the last like 3 minutes because he has just been daydreaming about food ever since we found out that the captain would invite us to dinner.
Mm. This daydream seems to manifest as you hear boots coming down from the steps.
Fiddlesticks excitedly says, "It sounds like footsteps." Just the most obvious.
Yes.
Captain Vance steps out of the cells and kind of nods to the half-elves and to the old man and turns to you guys and says,
"Don't worry, soon you'll have a chance to prove your loyalty. But first things
Captain
first.
Captain Vance."
Yes, Mr. Ridley.
Mr. Vance?
More like Crapton.
Got him in one, kiddo.
Fiddlesticks leans his head close to Ridley as though he wants Ridley to tousle his hair.
Vance does like enjoy that joke. He's like, "Ah, you'll make a great addition to the crew, little one."
But first, yeah, takes his hat off and holds it over his chest and says, we need to get started with dinner. Miss Sue, would you be so kind to assist our chef in the kitchens?
How do I know how I ended up here?
You remember walking through the city and steam filling a large room. It smells like hot soup, and you can tell that it's coming from these great steel cauldrons that are stirred by these tired-looking volunteers. There are people in this room that were down on their luck. Many were bearing old battle wounds, and a spindly old dwarf woman was walking through the room, pulling a ladle towards her mouth, kind of grunts and sort of begrudging acceptance, and then notices you. Sweetheart, I don't know what brought you in, but in a market like this, I don't imagine this is the hole you're looking for. You wandered into a soup kitchen. What brought you here?
You wouldn't happen to be hiring, would you?
How much are you looking for? Because we only make do by the good-hearted few who are willing to donate to a cause.
Well, I definitely need to live. So something's better than nothing.
This game takes place in 2024.
Roll an insight check, Sue.
Okay. Ooh, that is a 19 plus 5, 24.
Ooh. You can tell this woman is kind of trying to warn you. She has a sort of like alarmed look on her face that someone is sort of like bright-eyed. Has walked into this room looking for work. Please, dearie, I assure you there are better kitchens and maybe perhaps a snack shack in the markets that you might prefer to work at. Not here. And you can see that around the room, some of the rough-looking people are kind of starting to notice you.
Okay, I think Sue's going to do a once-over of the room and then just, like, slowly back out and kind of nod her head at the woman and be like, her chef.
Good luck, dearie. As you leave, you enter this bustling market. With a nose like yours, who's been in the kitchen, you would smell all kinds of things, both good and terrible. You can smell people cooking fish without using like proper acids to cover up the fishy smell. There are some unspiced meats and vegetables being cooked in some places for those who have more bland palates.
She is personally offended by that.
As you like kind of navigate through a crowd that never stops, you do notice kind of a little bit more of a rundown stall. Like the wood is a little bit older. This smell stands out because there's like a smoker behind it that is barbecuing pork. A man stands at the stall who you can tell just by his demeanor that he cares about what he is offering people.
Okay, I think they're going to walk up and just... I think they know the like recipes are hard to give away, but can I roll something to like recognize a spice or something that might be original to the dish that they would be impressed by me?
Roll a perception with advantage.
Okay. 16 with advantage. That was 13 plus 3.
Yeah, with that, you can tell that the seasoning that they're cooking with is kind of a mixture of, you know, like your salt and your pepper, which are standard in every dish, but also a sort of spicy dry rub. Mm. And you can tell by the smells that the product of this is less about the spices and more about the quality of the meat that they're cooking.
D&D Food Network is something I never knew. I love it so much.
I think that they are going to walk up to the chef. Can I can see them, not just see the food?
Yes.
Okay, I think I'm going to walk up and just say, wow, I am so glad that you did not kill that steak. That's kitchen slang, meaning you didn't overcook it.
Oh, someone who recognizes the art. Hello, I appreciate your compliments. It is hard to sort of stand out in a market like this.
She's going to stick her hand out and offer it and say, Sue, nice to meet you.
And he shakes her hand and says, I'm Chef.
Her eyes just go so wide. Chef, your name is Chef?
Yes. Well, that's what everyone calls me.
I think she's going to just like take a big breath, kind of roll their shoulders back and say, I would like a job.
Oh, well, I would love to give you a job. We are looking to open up a secondary location. Unfortunately, the market has a sort of odd application process because they're trying to help out some people who are putting a little bit more money on the table. And you have to apply at the central booth over there. So it's just over yonder. You know what? Take a little steak frite with you. And he just like puts a little piece of steak on a toothpick and hands it to you.
Can I roll for how delicious this steak is?
Of course. That'd be perception with advantage.
All right.
What's your yummy modifier?
Yes. That is a 19 plus 3, 22.
Man.
It is almost cooked to perfection. If you have a little bit of a criticism, it's that it didn't sit out for long enough to soak in all the juices. But you understand that that makes sense being in a market like this where it's kind of grab and go.
Absolutely. Okay. I think I will do like a just a little like nod. And then without running as fast as I can walk, Sue is going to head straight to that booth and start filling out the forms.
Sure. On your way there, you can hear someone muddled in the crowd behind you kind of yelling. Not super uncommon, but it is louder than the rest. I'm talking about some kind of tour. And you make it to a central booth where there is a bit of a line of people who seem to be kind of down on their luck. Maybe people who've given up being a sailor or a pirate or some travelers looking to start life in a new city who are waiting to apply.
Okay, I'm going to start filling out the forms. I'm assuming they like need some like resume information. So they're going to fill out where they trained. And that is underneath Fry LaFerry at Fry LaFerry's Home for Culinary Friends. And I think that's probably the extent of their resume because their last job did not end super good. And so they're just going to glaze over that one.
Yeah.
Fry LaFerry.
When you hand your application to the woman who's standing at the booth, she looks, she's, Miss LaFerry. She has a great reputation around here. I would like to introduce you to someone. And she kind of walks over a little bit. And soon another woman comes out and is like, I heard you work with Miss LaFerry.
Yes, trained underneath them.
Let's skip this whole process. I'm a part of a group of travelers who would really need someone like you to make our dishes a little bit better. The pay is all right. I'll be honest with you. It's not the best pay you will ever receive, but it will expose you to culinary experiences from around Corvair.
They are just in it. No questions. Don't want to roll anything. They are here for it. They will have like a little nudge in the back of their mind about Chef. And I think just, you know, I think they're going to ask the question, would this be serving with Chef?
Which one?
They're going to look a little confused because they did not get their real name. And so I think they'll just kind of like gesture and say, Chef.
Oh, of course. Yes, you will be working with Chef. Chef is fantastic, knows every dish known in these seven seas. And I think you'll have a great time.
Whatever she needs to sign, they are just pen to paper, sign away the soul. They're locked in.
Perfect. Well, I will, I'll show you to your quarters and then we should be off by nightfall. And she like ushers you and you get onto a huge ship. It is accented with a lot of metal.
you see a lot of, you know, sailors, rugged looking as they tend to be, getting on board, seeming to come from their day's activities. And she shows you to the kitchen, where there is a surprising amount of good ingredients for a ship. Oh, this is the kitchen where you'll be working in.
Great. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm really looking forward to this opportunity.
That's what we'd like to hear. And as you descend below the deck, you see a large bald man.
Who's this?
This is our new help for the kitchen.
Okay.
He's like, well, and he kind of just takes your arm and like, as he's holding onto one of the bars that you now recognize are prison bars, just kind of swings you over into the prison cell and locks. He's like, perfect.
They just raise their hand. Excuse me? I thought that I would be working in the kitchen.
You will be.
Now?
Welcome, and the woman steps in. Yes, we'll come get you when it's time. It's just part of the process. And you turn and you see two giant green creatures in the cell with you. one of them is passed out cold, and the other one is a turtle who is sitting on a stool.
Amazing. I don't think they would fight back. I think that they would just, I think they'd just be waiting.
And was Sue handed socks at some point and told to put those socks on?
Excuse me. Hey, Leadhead, they need socks.
Leadhead's like,
we were going to do it at dinner, but.
And he just like tosses the socks through the bars. Like,
go ahead and put those on. Don't keep your feet nice and cozy.
Did he take them off his own feet?
No, he had them in his pocket.
Okay.
His socket.
Okay. I mean, she's ready to join this team, so they're going to put those socks on.
As you head towards the kitchens, the woman who escorted you onto the ship is there. Chopping some potatoes. It's like, Dairy, I'm so glad you came to help us tonight. I think it'd be a great first test to see what you'd like to make for the crew while our supplies are fresh.
Can I roll perception to see what's in the kitchen? What kind of ingredients?
Sure.
9 plus 3, 12.
You can clearly see, like, there is a sort of magically cold box that has lots of different fish that have been caught on the shore. As well as like a pork shoulder that's just sitting there on the side. There's like a cook spit that's covered in metal that's in the center of the room. There are all kinds of surprisingly vegetables and rice grains. There are no tomatoes, which is unfortunate for any cook.
No!
But it seems that
bad day.
That this crew seems to be adverse to tomatoes.
All right,
I'm writing tomatoes equals weakness in my notes.
Yeah,
definitely
write it down.
Doing the same thing.
I wrote scurvy question mark.
Yeah. If we just wait, help. They're not eating enough citrus. If we just wait,
we can wait them out.
They'll die.
There are a ton of onions, though, like of all kinds. There's like your white, your yellow, your red.
It's my kind of boat.
That seems to be compensating for a lack of some of their missing spices. You know, like, there's no garlic powder. Kind of
just
weird
onion.
For a cook.
Okay. I think we're going to make some potato soup is what I'm feeling. So Sue will turn to, do I know the woman's name?
She's like, I'm chef.
Perfect.
Amazing.
No bells are going off that like I've still been duped. Nothing is happening up there. Okay, I'm going to turn to Chef and say, let's make some soup.
The smell of potato soup starts filling the entire ship. And around this time, Leadhead and another pirate come down and open specifically y'all's prison cell.
The captain said that I'd like you to join him for dinner.
Well, we wouldn't want to be rude, right, folks?
Glint's reluctantly following along at the back of the group. Glint's wheels are turning. Dinner seems strange to Glint.
And Davy's wheels are also turning in his ankles as he like scoots along. Yeah.
Fiddlesticks is just ready for dinner. Doesn't even think to prepare it anyway.
You guys are escorted up to the captain's quarters where a long table is laid out with utensils. And Sue shows up with a large pot of potato soup. Captain Vance stands up and addresses you. Welcome, mateys. It's good to see that you've settled. And then he glances at Ridley's feet. Where'd your socks go?
Well, not to be rude, but they were a few sizes too small. And from my forearm, it seems like they did the trick they were required to do.
We'll get a tailor next time we're in the port.
I would love that.
We can't have you not matching uniforms.
Oh, if it's uniform, yeah, let's you give me a bigger size and two burlap sacks.
Everyone grab a seat.
I roll to sit.
Dude, you've took the words right out of my mouth.
Who sits best, though?
Yeah. Fiddlesticks is frantically searching the room for any like thick book that he could sit on.
No, he didn't want to be sure.
To just like sit at the table a little more evenly.
There's a couple bar stools that overlook a little window that you can see the ocean on. So
Fiddlesticks loudly drags a bar stool all the way from the window and sits it right next to Captain Vance.
So I'm struggling because Vince, the player, is putting some things together.
So is Doge the player.
That I don't know if... I don't think that Ridley has.
Jordan and Fiddlesticks share the same level of not knowing anything that's happening right now.
I mean, if somebody who has knowledge, like their character is aware of something and wanted to broach that topic at any point, they could.
Okay, I think Ridley is streetwise enough. He wants to... whether that's insight... When I connect the name Blood Drunk with a tooth symbol, with a dinner party,
with no garlic in the kitchen.
No garlic in the kitchen. I'm wondering if we've got some vampires.
Vampirates.
Some vampirates.
Interesting.
And so Ridley is very curious about that.
Roll either, and anybody who thinks their character would put this together can roll for an arcana or a history check.
So either a +0 or a +0?
I have a +5 to both of those.
Sue is not rolling.
Neither is Phil.
I love that.
11 +4, so Donnie got a 15.
I got a 10, a 5 +5 on my Arcana.
Donnie, you would know that there has been rumors that there are a group of vampirates who sail this part of the world. You don't feel super confident that it is this group, but it is a valid possibility that you're cooking in your head.
Great.
And Ridley just thinks this is a group of stand-up guys.
Just a big misunderstanding.
Absolutely.
Wow, look at these normal guys. Do we feel like this is normally something like they wouldn't want you to know? Because if there's enough of us that kind of caught on to this, does it feel like vampirates don't want you to know they're vampirates?
I think with a 15 in history, you would know that, like, it's probably not great for their reputation if it got out. But, you know, at the same time, there's a lot of sketchy people who sail. So,
sure.
It wouldn't be the end of the world.
So he's going to, like, take a big whiff of this potato soup. And he's not obviously having to, that's not part of an act. Like, I'm sure this is an amazing soup. Mm-hmm. And not really going to dine until he's told to. But who am I sitting by? Am I with the party? I want to talk to the closest pirate, whoever that would be.
Who? The only pirate in this room with you is the captain.
It's Captain. Cool. Great.
Yeah.
Without even looking at anybody, I'm looking at the soup, rubbing my hands together.
Man, soup, seems like you've done us all quite a service here. I know it's the worst thing to say, but I'm such a fan of spice and stuff like that. I feel like you've basically got this down to a T. I mean, for what I can smell, I smell something like a 23 or a 24 kind of soup here. And I just wanted to say, is it fine for me to ask, Sue, you've been back in the kitchen, right? Have you been back there?
Absolutely.
You're kind of acquainted with it? I'm such a fan of a few spices. Can you see if they've got any paprika or perhaps just some good old just pepper, a little more pepper. I like that up in my nose. And then do they have any garlic powder or any kind of garlic? I love that taste. Is there anything you feel like you could grab for me?
Around a mouthful of soup, Fiddlestick says, grab some bread, please.
Strangely enough, I didn't see any garlic in the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
Is Chef out here? Can I turn to Chef and raise an eyebrow?
You can see Chef like watching everyone try the potato soup from like the kitchen window.
Just eyes above. Yeah. Like,
no, we're fresh out of garlic, dear.
I mean, that's okay. I figured well-traveled, it might be something you could pick up, but hey, I mean, not every boat's going to have it. That's fine. I'm happy to have this soup without garlic.
We have so many onions.
No. That's okay for me. I don't need that.
Yeah, we're actually good on onions.
You can tell Captain Vance is kind of smiling at this exchange.
What kind of utensils do we have at our plates?
It's all sporks.
Ready for it.
Since Davey has a plated meal next to me, I'm assuming Davey has a plated meal next to me, but Davey doesn't eat because Davey's a robot.
How polite of them.
Sue would have absolutely served the robot.
Right. I want to reach over and grab Davey's spork and just slowly make a little crucifix out of our sporks and like put it down on the table and see if I can judge any reaction from the pirate captain.
Captain Vance is, he like sees what you're doing and he's like, it seems that you've got onto our little secret. Good job, everyone. Kindly, as a guest on our ship, I'd prefer if you would refrain from spork shapes. but alas, doesn't really matter, because soon you'll be part of the fold anyways.
No, thank you, actually. I am good.
Part of the fold, you mean like we're going to be necking at some point, or like... You just sign up for it.
Did you say naked?
No, necking. Sorry, I'm from the pretty far north.
Country folk.
Necking, like kissing. You know what I'm saying? Like biting a little bit. I don't want to say in mixed company.
Maybe that too.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I, for one, am comfortable becoming quite so...
And then he barrels the captain straight in the eyes.
Becoming quite so familiar with your practices as a pirate.
He's very proud. Glint's very proud of himself. He's like looking around like, do you guys catch that?
You get it.
Did it.
You can hear the sound of all of this going straight over Fiddlestick's head. The whoosh of air as Fiddlestick catches none of what's happening.
I'm picturing Fiddlestick's just chewing with his mouth wide open
fully
the whole time.
Soup.
He's
chewing soup.
Yeah. The captain like furls his brow and, you mean you've caught my familiar?
I didn't mean to imply that. I was just saying the words that we all know about folks with your particular dietary proclivities, which again is fine and good, and you should eat whatever or whoever you want. But I was saying the word. I didn't do anything wrong, and I don't want to be hurt.
He kind of gets serious for, like, up to this point, he's been kind of jovial about this, and he looks you right in the eyes and says, say the word, lad.
This is the skin of a killer.
This is the skin of a killer, Bella.
Say it.
You're a vampire.
Fiddlestick says, what?